Well, we're in a study of the Ten Commandments. We're in Exodus, of course, chapter 20. We come to the fifth commandment tonight. So turn in your Bibles to Exodus 20. In a moment, we're going to read verse 12. Now, if tonight is 5, that means we've dealt with numbers 1 through one finger. We're trying to learn by finger signs what are the commandments. Number 1, somebody just say it, or a group of you say it. What is the first commandment? No other gods. How many true, real gods are there? One. That's what the one stands for. The two fingers, we've got one bowing down to the other. And so what is the second commandment? No graven images, no idols. We hold up three fingers and form almost the letter W, which speaks of words. So what would commandment number 3 be? Do not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. That was a little bit weak. I know y'all know what that is. We looked at commandment number 4. And commandment number 4, you take the two fingers on each hand, put together four fingers, and we do this. And I told you that one of the youth said, you're not supposed to sleep in church, but that's not what the commandment is. What was commandment, or what is commandment number 4? Remember what? The Sabbath, and keep it what? Holy. Now we come to commandment number 5 tonight. Let's look at the 12th verse. Exodus 20:12. Are you ready for the scripture? Amen. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So if that is commandment number 5, let's take the 5 fingers and ask some of these men, many of them in the room, and women as well, who have been in military, and we salute using all 5 fingers. And when you salute your superior officer, you are honoring that officer who is your superior. As we think of commandment number 5 in verse 12, we are going to honor our father and our mother. Now, don't leave here tonight and say, Brother Wayne said you're supposed to salute them. I didn't say that. But you are supposed to honor them. So can we talk about that verse for a while? You have a handout. Did anybody not get a handout and you want a handout? Okay. Ushers, grab some handouts. Would you do it? And I'm going to get you back in here. I should have done that earlier, and I apologize for that. I want you to have that because you'll be able to take it with you, and it might be a blessing to you as we walk through there. So if you don't mind, hold your hands up till some of the ushers see it. We have ones down here. I don't know that I had the handouts available to the ushers. Some of you had to come in early. So that was choir, wasn't it? Okay. Down this way, we need a number of them. Thank y'all for your patience, and thank you, ushers, for getting them out. Down here we have a number of them. Just keep your hands in the air till somebody gives you one. Several down here. One down here. Two down here. But we got some more. Now, we're not out of them. We're not out of them. Brenda, don't give yours away, son. I talked to Vicki. She said, you need the Ten Commandments. As Gerald Wolf would say, I just made that up. I didn't. That's not true at all. I see a hand back over here, ushers, on the side. Don't hesitate, right on back there, Miss Karen. Who else? Let's keep it up. We're glad to get it to you. Anybody anywhere else? Wave big so we can see it. All right. Commandment number 12, commandment number 5. Is in. I'm interested to hear what 11 is, aren't you? I think commandment number 11 is love thy pastor and don't forget it. Amen. Commandment number 5 out of verse what? 12. Honor thy father and thy mother. You have, I think, 4 basic headings on your handout sheet. So let me just begin by talking about just a couple of observations before we get into you filling out your handout. 2 just immediate observations. This commandment comes from who? comes from God. So the first observation we have is that since this commandment comes from God, there must be a way that we can obey it, regardless of how hard that may seem. Now, if we don't embrace that thought, we're saying that God gave us a commandment, and there's no way under the shining sun you could honor it. I don't believe God gave us a commandment that you can't honor to some degree. So because it came from God, we believe that you can, there's a way to obey it, no matter how difficult it might be. And because of what I've learned in the last 30, 40 years of ministry, I just thought everybody had a good mom and daddy. And I would have told you when I just, maybe by the time I started preaching, well, it wouldn't be hard for anybody to love their mom and daddy. But we're going to talk about that more tonight. So that's the first observation. There must be a way that we can obey it since it comes from God. The other observation is, since God always has our best interest at heart, and I think you and I do agree tonight that God has our best interest at heart. Would you say amen to that? Amen. Then obedience to this commandment must also be in our best interest. It's in our best interest to obey this command. So, I think your number one says the basic command. The words are very simple here. Honor your mama and your dad. Honor your father and your mother. Now, the key word of all that, believe it or not, is not father and mother. The key word there is the word honor. Fill that in. The key word is the word honor. And it might surprise you that in your handout, it means, and you're going to put three words in there, to be heavy. I repeat, the key word is honor, and it means to be heavy. You say, well, what's that talking about? Well, the basic sense is to treat someone with respect because they carry a heavy weight of responsibility and authority. The basic meaning of the word honor is to be heavy, and the thought is you're going to treat that person or persons with respect because they carry a heavy weight of responsibility and authority. It means that we're going to do our best to treat our parents like VIPs because they carry a heavy weight of authority and responsibility. That's what it means. To honor means to treat them with dignity, with respect, and just treat them with deference. Now, you'll need to remember that along the way. As you grow more mature and your parents grow older, there's sometimes you're going to respect them just out of deference. Let me give you an example. I was a plumber and electrician by trade, and my dad would go with me to do certain jobs and projects. And because he's dad, it wasn't too long on some of the jobs. Dad, who only knew the basics of farming and agriculture and how to fix some things, he didn't know beans about plumbing and electricity, but guess who was telling who what to do? He was telling me what to do. Now, could I disrespect him for that? No. What am I going to do? I'm just going to, with deference, just say, I know what he's trying to do. He thinks that's helpful, and I'm just going to continue to be nice and kind and suck it up, buttercup. That's what we're talking about. Folks, I am still my father and mother's son, though they've been gone, Dad, 41 years this April, and Mom been gone 21 years in March. And that relationship, by the way, is never going to change. I will always be the son of my mother and dad, even though they're gone. And the burden to honor their name will never be lifted from my shoulders. And not only will it never be lifted, it is a sweet burden that I don't want lifted from my shoulders. I don't want to be freed from that. This very night, I am more thankful for them than I have ever been. It grows with every passing year. The things you lean on, the things you were taught, the things that they said sometimes very blunt, the funny ways that they could say things and do things. You just learned a lot of lessons, and you thank God for them. Some of you would not be old enough to remember that there was a day that we didn't have ice makers. and you had aluminum ice trays. And then we really came into the era of James Bond and technology, and you had plastic ice trays. And you graduated from aluminum ice trays that you pulled a handle to get the ice loose after running some water over the bottom part of it. And you took the plastic trays and you twisted them. And the way your parents interacted with each other taught you some things about how to get along and about humor. And my dad, who had dry humor, saw my mom with a plastic ice tray at the kitchen sink, and she was wrestling with it, just like this. And he comes out from sitting on the other side with this comment. He said, "Honey, if you will twist that ice tray like I see you twisting something else on the backside, I bet that ice will go everywhere." And so, because she was getting into it, you know. Well, that was hilariously funny, and I just fell out laughing, and Mom couldn't keep from laughing. And she said, "If you'll come over here, I'll hit you with this ice tray." And so they didn't mean a word of that. They were just showing me, and whether they knew it or not, teaching me how that in some things, don't take life so serious. When you can laugh at something without having to make fun of somebody or something, learn how to laugh. And so I owe them, as long as I live, the burden and responsibility of honoring their memory. Number two, I placed on your sheet by intention, because it would prevent you from having to look it up, the number two, that God, when he says, "Honor thy father and thy mother," he is not joking. Now let's look at this material. Exodus 21:15, "He that smiteth his father or his mother shall be surely," that means must be, "put to death." Now, folks, if nothing else tonight, we'll be grateful that we live under grace and not under the law of the Old Testament, or the cemetery would certainly be a lot more full than it is. Deuteronomy 21:18 through 21 gives the following instruction if you have a stubborn or rebellious son. I placed it on your sheet for this reason. First, in verse 19, "Then shall his father and mother lay hold on him and bring him to the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place." So if you got a rebellious son, you're going to go see the elders of the city, which would be like a political office as well as a religious office. It's where judgments are made. It is outside that city gate that the Bema seat resides, where they face judgment and where decisions are made. And so you're going to take him to the elders of the city. Number two. "And they shall say," in verse 20, "unto the elders of his city," they're going to testify, "that this is our son. He is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard." And verse 21, the first part of it says, "And all the men of his city," not just the elders, all the men who are there to witness what's taking place at the time of judgment, "shall stone him," that's the rebellious son, "with stones that he die." You think God was kidding about honoring your father and your mother? Just strike your father and your mother, and you'll see in this day what God was going to have done to you. He's not kidding. The latter part of verse 21 says, "So, having done this," in other words, "shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel will hear and fear." God said, "There's a reason that I'm having it done this way. I want all Israel to see what I think of dishonoring your mom and dad. And when you stone him, you will put evil out of your midst." God wanted a people of his own to be pure people and to live like he wanted them to live. Without getting into the marshes, may I make a passing statement? God instituted capital punishment not to be against the innocent, but to be against the guilty who commit heinous crimes, and we need that in this nation today. The liberals say that capital punishment does not work. I respond, it works every time. The people they put to death never commit that sin again. In Proverbs 19:26, he that wasteth his father, that's robs his father, and chases away his mother, that's drives her out, is a son that causes shame and brings reproach, which means disgrace. That's what God said. Then in Proverbs 20, verse 20, whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out. You know what it means when your lamp is put out? Did you ever blow out a kerosene lamp? We had kerosene lamps at our home, even though when I came along, electricity had come through the region, and we had one electric wire down from the ceiling with one 40-watt bulb on it. But when the power went off, it was black as pitch dark. I mean, you couldn't see the nose on the end of your face. There wasn't any night lights. And during a time of a storm, there's no moon. So we would light a kerosene lamp. And when it's time to turn the lamp out and either go to bed or the lights come on, we put the lamp out. And he said, if you curse your mother or curse your father or your mother, your lamp's going to be put out. You're going to perish and die in obscure, that is, pitch darkness. In Proverbs 30:17, the eye that mocks at his father, that despises to obey his mother, that is, that scorns her, the ravens of the valley shall pick out, or pick it out, meaning his eyes, and the young eagles, that's the vulture, shall eat it. That's what God said. And I just have given you those scriptures to tell you that God in no way was teasing when he said what he said. He's very serious that you need to honor your father and your mother. Number three. You have a sentence there with a couple of blanks in it. Blank parents with the blank that you respect God. Let's fill that in. Respect parents with the seriousness you respect God. Now let me make a statement so everybody here, especially the young folks, will hear it. Mom and Dad are not God. They are far from God. They are not anything like perfect as God is perfect. And the very best parents who've ever lived, whoever they are still very imperfect in many ways. But your mom and your dad represent God in your life. And if you never learn to respect your mom and your daddy, you'll never learn to respect God. Now, can I just say something without putting anybody on a guilt trip? If you let your children mouth back at you, you're paving their way to hell. God doesn't like that at all. And unlike compromising moms and dads, God will cut off fellowship if you start mouthing at him. He doesn't take disrespect. And for you to take it does not mean that you love your children that much. It means you love yourself and you don't want what it takes to stay by the stuff and risk them turning against you for you to tell them what is right. So respect parents with the seriousness you respect God. And I will say to any of us of any age who still have living parents, the way you respond to your parents is more than likely the way you respond to God. Mom and Dad, if something is good today, it ought to always be good. If something's not good today, it ought to always not be good, because God doesn't vacillate in his values. And one time you tell them they can't do it, you pitch a fit if they do it, and the next time they do it, you don't respond to it, you are confusing your children. Why was it bad one time and it's not bad another? Now, there's four biblical reasons on your sheet to honor parents. Number one, you'll notice it is the blank thing to do. Fill in the word right. It is the right thing to do. There's a scripture there. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is, say that word. Now, this won't be the most deep theological truth you've ever heard, but it is so simple, I think we sometimes stub our toe on it. Sometimes God has told us to do something just because it's right. Doesn't need another reason. It doesn't mean that this is related to this and this is related to this. I just want you to do it because it's right. And when he said what he did about children obeying parents in the Lord, he said, I want you to do it just because it's right. It's the right thing to do. Number two, it pleases, fill in the blank, it pleases God. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well, let's say the word, pleasing unto the Lord. So it's the right thing to do, and God says, when you do that, you really do please me. Do you remember a time when you just really had a bad mouth with your mom or your dad? You need to go back and talk to God about that. You say, Pastor, I can't. I'd like to. I had this big problem with mom or dad, and they're gone now, and I can't fix that. Well, when I went through the time of teaching several semesters of men's fraternity, I found during the entire course of those about three semesters that you'd find distinct in my memory right at the moment is a man. I said, how old are you, sir? He said, 52 years old, and I have just realized that I have been mad at my daddy practically my whole life. I said, where does he live? He said, he's dead. And he told some things that happened. He said, how am I going to fix that? Or can it be fixed? And I told him something that Robert Lewis said in the materials. I said, well, I'll tell you what I would suggest, but listen to me carefully or else you will think I'm about to suggest something I don't even believe in. Number one, you can't talk to the dead. But the closest you can get physically to that which represents your mom or dad is out at the cemetery. So go stand at their grave and don't talk to them. They can't hear you. And talk to the Lord and say, Lord, I stand here today over my daddy's grave. And I've realized for the first time that I've been angry at him just about my whole life. I sure am sorry. But Lord, this is not the only thing I've ever messed up at that I can't fix. But I'm giving this to you and ask you to begin to fix something in me that I will not be the same person because of what you have revealed to me about my relationship or lack thereof with my daddy or mama, as the case might be. Folks, it pleases God for you to obey your parents. And I'm going to make a statement in a moment. The text says, children, obey your parents in all things. I'm going to cover a little something with that before I finish tonight. Number three. It leads to long life. Fill that in. When you honor your mom and dad, it's just a very good thing, and it will lead to you having a longer life. Exodus 20:12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. God said, you're going to have some longer days because of that. The fourth and final thing listed there is it ensures blank, blank. It ensures good success. Deuteronomy 5:16, honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So honor your mom and dad, father and mother, that your days can be prolonged. Yes, I think you can deduce from that you may cut your days short when you don't do that. I believe I'd want to live as long as God would let me live to fulfill his purpose in me and my purpose for him and be at peace with him and my family. I believe that'd be the right thing to do. Now let's talk about an application. That's your number four. There are three ways for grown-up children to honor your parents. Number one, by blank, blank of them. That is, speaking well of them. Now here is the point of contention or the place of stress or the point of tension in your heart. Here's the question. How do you speak well of parents who hurt you deeply? How do you speak well, for instance, of a dad if you're a daughter who may have molested you. There is a true sense in which you honor your parents by refusing to speak evil of them. That in itself is honor. Speak well of your parents if you can. As you become more of age, now a four-year-old can be abused and can't do anything for himself or herself. They're just going to be abused. And if you know of anybody that's abusing a child, you need to turn them into the law. No child ought to have to grow up in abuse, physical or sexual. But as you become older and your parents want you to do something that you know is illegal and immoral, you do whatever you got to do if you can to keep from doing that. You might go to a grandparent's house. You might go to a relative's house. In my case, I couldn't have gone to a grandparent's house. I didn't have any grandparents. They're gone. Thank God I wasn't abused. I was very much loved. And so you speak well of them. And if you can't speak well of them, do your best not to speak evil of them. Advertising the things that your parents did that was terrible is not helping you, and it's not helping them. Preachers and others can give mighty easy answers. Pastor, what do I do if I need to turn them in, knowing that it's going to cost me greatly? Well, the general answer is you go ahead and turn them in. But now, folks, when your neck is on the chopping block, nobody knows what they would do until that's them. I've seen and known and read of children who were very much abused and felt that they had no out. I've had adults tell me that, Pastor, I told this to my mother and she wouldn't believe me. I've had others say, I told my mom and she wouldn't do anything about it. In that case, both parents abuse the child. It's bad enough for a dad to abuse a daughter or a son. It's worse when the other partner, the mother, knows about it and refuses to do anything about it. So do your best to speak well of them if you can. Honestly, God doesn't hold you accountable to cover up what's wrong. But if you can't speak well of them, try not to say anything about them. There's a second way for grown-up children to honor your parents. And this probably involves everybody in the room. By, fill in the blank, forgiving them. How do you honor an alcoholic father? How do you honor a mother that left you as a baby? I had a lady in this church tell me some years ago, she said, Pastor, I was 5 years of age, and my daddy walked out of the yard, and I've not heard from him since. And when she told me that, I think she was 60 years of age. How do you honor that type person? How do you honor people who neglected you? I had someone come to me, a man and his wife, they were in ministry, and she was a sad mixture of deep, deep, deep emotional scarring. And she said, I was treated somewhat like an animal. When we came home from school, I was put in my room. My door was open long enough to give me a plate of food, and I was confined to my room. I could not come out. It doesn't bring nice thoughts to my mind as to what ought to be done to somebody that treats children that way. Now, you've got to remember something. Your parents are sinners just like you. And you don't have to agree with anything that they did that was wrong, but you need to forgive it, let go of it, because it's going to poison you if you don't let go of it. Never will God hold you accountable to say, well, I hate they did that, but that's all right. No, that's a lie. You don't ever say that something that abused somebody was all right. It wasn't all right at all. And there may be a time that you need to sit before a counselor, professional help, or before your pastor or someone and, quote, unquote, spill your guts. You have carried it as long as you can carry it, and you want somebody to burden that share that burden and shoulder that burden with you. If that helps you, then do that. But don't feel like you've got to go on an advertising campaign to tell the whole world. That's not required. If we refuse to forgive our parents, we'll tend to carry that resentment and bitterness into our own marriage and into other relationships. And that's how strongholds are shared through generations. That's how dysfunctional patterns are passed down to the next generation. Mama had the problem, the daughter's got the problem. Daddy had the problem, the son's got the problem. The son's son's got the problem. And it's been coming down generations because somebody would not say before God, God, I've been hurt. I've been hurt greatly. That has left a terrible, terrible scar. I can think of someone who was sexually mistreated, and the person who mistreated them had keys. You know how the people have key rings attached to their belt? And the keys would rattle when this person would come and abuse them. And until the very day, that had been many years ago, sitting in my office, the lady said, I can't stand to hear keys rattle to this day. Because of the memories that come back. See, strongholds are generally formed in one of two ways. Going through trauma will form a stronghold. And repetitive actions and behaviors set up strongholds when they are of an evil nature. You just keep doing that and it establishes a pattern and the enemy takes over a strong and sets up a stronghold in your life. And the repetitive patterns of misbehavior you have control over, but if somebody does something to you traumatic, you can't prevent some people from doing things to you of a traumatic nature. Talk to bank tellers who have people that pull guns in their face and say, if you don't fill this bag up and maybe whisper it, I'm blowing your brains out right here, folks. That may seem like something that movies are made of, but when you're the teller on the other side, that's not a movie, and it is quite traumatic. So forgive for your sake. Third and finally, what about by blank blank? There's two blanks there. By not forsaking them. Now we have an example of Jesus while hanging on the cross. He took time to remember his aging mother. To his mother, he said, woman, behold your son. Talking about the beloved John who was there. And to John he said, son, behold your mother. He, knowing of his coming death in a matter of minutes or hours, wanted to be sure that mom was left in the care of someone. And that's what Jesus was doing. So while dying for the sins of the world, he took time to keep the fifth commandment and honor his mother. Suppose then tonight as I conclude this, you currently are going through something. You may need someone to help you walk through that and talk through that, to talk about your options. You may have a mother or dad, one that abused you terribly, and you don't know what to do with what remains of the remnants of that in your heart. You don't have to carry that to your grave. In this day of great abuse, I'm the last one that wants the government involved in the raising of our children. We need to raise our own children. But when you've got a mom or a dad who is more like an animal than a human, somebody has to step in and give some type of relief to a child who cannot help themselves. Honor thy father and thy mother. I would have a notion tonight that this would be the type setting, if it was possible, for me to pause and say, now, I'd like to take questions, because sometimes you have a heart full of them, but you wouldn't ask them in this type setting, because what you want to ask in the private. That's why your pastor's available to you. If you have questions, I'm available. Be happy to answer that and tell you what I know that people have done in similar circumstances. But the one thing I do not suggest is to continue to carry your hurt and die in bitterness and loneliness because you've carried it by yourself. I do want to remind every one of us of this. This morning I spoke in the morning message about we are who we are because of how Christ has related to us as our Savior and Lord, and we have God as our Father. Our value is not based, you remember me saying, on the type of work we do? Well, as important as mom and dad can be, our value is not based on who our daddy was or who our mama was. I happen to have had a good mom and dad by the grace of God, but if you had the worst one that ever lived, you are no less than I am. Now, you may have missed some things growing up, but you didn't miss anything that God can't bring to you right now. Don't you let the devil tell you that your life will lack forever because of a dad who did certain things or didn't do certain things he should, or a mom who did certain things or neglect or other such things. That is a devil's lie who wants to keep all of us in bondage. And our job is to walk with each other toward our heavenly home and bear ye one another's burdens. And when we do, we are fulfilling the law of Christ and help each other along the journey. You may need some help today, but I may need help tomorrow. Let's help each other to the end that we both can walk more faithfully with a Savior who loved us and gave himself for us. Would you agree with that? Father, tonight, what an awesome commandment. And it's almost hard to believe that in this hour we have sex trafficking. We have girls being sold into the sex slave trade. It is amazing the lack of love and care and concern and nurture that many a child is able to receive. And tonight our ministry to them should be available and our hearts should be willing. I pray you will sanctify the truth of this commandment and that you will give to us a fresh awareness of how to honor our father and our mother, whether they are living or whether they are deceased. And would you let us be to our own children more of what we should be and not pass on to our kids the faults, the foibles, the failures, the strongholds that we may have had to have dealt with in our years of growing up. Sanctify, O God, these moments. Set captives free. Save any that are lost. Straighten out anything that's crooked. Realign every heart and life. Reestablish and establish maybe in some for the first time the proper thinking about honoring mom and dad. And I pray that you will equip us now for the work that is before us as we seek to finish our own journey. At whatever juncture we are at tonight, may we finish our journey well, and may our children and our children's children be greatly blessed as we learn more faithfully how to live with you and walk with you. Bless these moments of commitment. We do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with your pastor? The altar is open. You may want to come thank God for your parents.